So, last week we talked about words in general, and we spoke about Isaiah and Uzziah. And today we're going to start speaking specifically about what we say. But as always, when we start looking at something, the topic becomes more general. So today we're going to talk about encouragement. And I know that we all need encouragement sometimes. And part of our ministry in the church is to encourage one another. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So, when Apostle Paul writes his letters, he often says, you know, you should be doing this better, you're not doing that. And here he goes, encourage yourself, just as you are doing. Just keep doing what you are doing with respect to encouraging each other. Encouragement can have many forms. It can involve being with someone, consoling them, ministering to them in the ministry that God has given us. Something interesting in Deuteronomy that I read, I'm going to read about this difficult time when Joshua, Caleb, and the 10 spies enter Israel. And they're supposed to be going as spies. And I don't know why they even sent out spies. Maybe God said to send out spies. Sorry, I didn't read that part of the story. But they send these people out to check out the land. And then they come back and they hear two different words. They hear words from the 10 spies that were words of discouragement. They hear the words that the land is wonderful, but there's these giants and we look like grasshoppers next to them. And there's these massive grapes and this is a land flowing with milk and honey, but we cannot conquer the land. So they hear words of discouragement from the 10 spies, and then from the other two spies, Joshua and Caleb, they hear word of encouragement. They hear the words that we will in fact be able to take the land because God is with us. So we see this as we talked about last week, another comparison, another pair of people. One group doing something that they shouldn't be, and one group doing something that they should be. And then Joshua, the people side with the 10 spies. There's kind of a rebellion against the leadership of Moses. And then God says, well, the people of Israel are going to enter the land, but you're not going to enter the land. We're going to delay this entry for a generation until the old people who rebel die in the desert, and then their children will inherit the land. So at the end of this whole difficult situation, there's something very interesting that you would miss if you were reading quickly. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 37, it says here, because of you, the Lord became angry with me also and said, you shall not enter it either. This is Moses quoting God, right? We have to think about, because Moses also had a situation where he became angry and God said that Moses would enter the land. But then, this is God speaking. But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And you would miss that, encourage him, if you were reading quickly. It's so small, but so powerful. Because Joshua had just tried to encourage the people of Israel to enter the land, and they didn't accept his encouragement. But now God turns to Moses and says, encourage Joshua. Encourage him. We were here yesterday at our Bible school, and there was a very very gifted person who had a doctorate in Hebrew, speaking for about 5 hours, talking to us about interpreting, how you interpret Old Testament, how you read the Old Testament. He could read Hebrew as if he was reading a subway pamphlet. And then he said, did you hear my T's and S's? And we didn't hear anything. We just heard a blur, right? But, and he told us that when we interpret Hebrew, it's different than interpreting Greek. Hebrew is very general. There's one word for love, and it's a massive word that can mean so many things. Whereas in Greek, there's three different words for love that each mean specific things. So here, there's the word, encourage. But it doesn't say encourage. This is our interpretation of the word. The word is, him you strengthen. Strengthen him. That's what the Hebrew says. Strengthen Joshua. So that strengthening is what encouragement is meant to do. To strengthen somebody. And it can be many things. It can be talking to someone and just giving him a word of encouragement, or it can be that you are completely silent and you're helping someone to do something. You're strengthening him. But we need this strengthening. And in this moment of consternation, of failure, where God's people are not allowed to enter the promised land, God says to Moses, him, points to Joshua and says, him you strengthen. Him you strengthen. So he can do this work for God at a later time. This is the definition of encouragement. We put on the glasses of faith and we see something on the horizon, something far out, something further. We receive something from God that the other person doesn't see, and we tell that person about it. We strengthen that person. Joshua does receive that encouragement from Moses, and he is able to lead the people to inherit the land. There is hope in the future. You can go to another example, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17. This is the situation with Elijah, and they're in a time of war, and Jerusalem is under siege, and his servant is a little bit stressed out about it. So let's read about 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. O Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. The prophet said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed. Oh, sorry, it's Elisha, not Elijah. O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The prophet Elisha has a deeper understanding of God than his servant. His servant doesn't have these glasses on, that he can see what God can do. So Elisha could tell him, yeah, well, you know, it's going to be okay, God is with us. But in this case, I guess it's not enough. So he prays for God to open his eyes. And the servant Elisha also receives that revelation of God. He can now see spiritually what Elisha sees. This is the encouragement that someone prays and allows someone to see. Encouragement in prayer. But then God can open the eyes of that person and he can be strengthened. And the encouragement involves receiving that direct revelation of God for the given situation. This is next level encouragement, which is encouragement by faith. Okay? Now we're going to do the third example. The three examples, and I'm going to talk about encouragement in my own life. We're going to go to Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas just got beat up, and they're sitting in jail. They smack them around, they put them in jail, they put them in stockades, and usually people would not be too happy after that happened. But Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. This is a situation where Paul and Silas are not sure what the solution is. They are not sure what God is going to do in that specific situation. But they are praying and singing to God. They are worshiping Him because they know that God is with them and that God will help them or won't help them, but they are within the will of God. And what? Guess what? There's the prisoners. They hear them. They're saying, these guys are nuts. What else would you be singing, right? These guys must be certifiably crazy. That's probably what these prisoners are thinking. But then they start listening to what they're singing. And they're listening, and maybe they feel the presence of God. They feel the presence of the Spirit of God as they listen to these people who are praising God. And then everyone's chains fell off. Not just Paul's. Not just Silas. Everybody's chains in the prison fell off. The effect of this encouragement of the worship of God was so far-reaching that affected both the believers and the unbelievers. Encouragement is part of our evangelism. The chains of hopelessness are replaced with the presence of hope. But even as Christians, sometimes we need the perspective. Sometimes we are too close to the problem. There's a saying, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees. You don't see the forest because you're too close. You have to step back to see an entire forest. When you're in the forest, you just see the trees, right? So as Christians, when we have a problem, sometimes we are too close and we only see the problem. And we need a brother or a sister to give us that special perspective of God, to pull us further away, to put us on the hilltop where we can see that entire forest and we can see the work of God even in the difficult situation. I'm going to tell you a personal story. This is about how I came to Canada. I was 2 years old, and my dad was 20, my mom was 22, so these were basically teenagers. My parents were basically teenagers, just a little bit older, teenagers. And my dad, both were believers, and my dad decided to defect, to illegally leave communist Czechoslovakia. Communism was a system that tried to dictate what you could have. It tried to dictate what you could believe. It was a system that would listen and take your phone conversations when you called somebody overseas. It was a system that would read your mail if you sent a letter overseas. It was a system that put exit border controls. So you would have to show your passport to exit the country. In Canada, you don't have to show your passport to exit the country. There was a situation in a mentally ill person got let out of a center for mental health with all kinds of things saying he couldn't leave. And he took his Chinese passport and see you later, guys. They never realized he had a Chinese passport. There was no exit border control. The only check when you go to Pearson is the airline to make sure you can get to the place where you're going, right? But there were pretty strict exit controls in communist Czechoslovakia. So there were a couple of ways you could get out. Usually it involved taking a state-sanctioned vacation to a nice tropical area or a nice warm area. So my dad said, I am going to go to Yugoslavia for a nice vacation. And he gets on the special communist sanctioned tourist bus with the special communist handlers, and they all get on the bus and they go to Yugoslavia. And then this is how you would do it. In Yugoslavia, you would run away from the hotel. My parents jumped off this first story balcony with me and the suitcases, go to the Austrian consulate and say, I want a transit visa to get back to Czechoslovakia. They would give you the transit visa. Now you're on your own in the Western world. which you've never done before. There's no internet. There's no cell phones. You have money in your pocket. You don't have a credit card. You don't have a debit card. And you're trying to get across the country in a capital city to beg them for an exit visa so you can go with the train across the border. And then you jump off the train and say, I'm here. That's how you did it. Pretty stressful if you imagine it. My parents go to the the Austrian consulate in Yugoslavia. And the consulate stays open and half an hour late to issue their visas. The next day their friends go. They don't get the visas. They cross the border. They made it to Austria. Get off the train, nowhere to go. Absolutely basket cases, stressed out with me. So I'm 2 years old. And they get to a town square. And they say, well, let's go to the church. We need some help now. We don't know what to do now. We're in Austria. We're in freedom. They go to the church. They go to the first door. We're busy. Church is closed. Come back later. We know this isn't where we refugees come. So then they go to the second church. A man opens the door with the love of God in his eyes and he says, how can I help you? That is the encouragement. The encouragement that comes in Kairos. Encouragement that comes in the time of God. Encouragement where is there when you need it. The strengthening that you can receive. It wasn't a big deal. He had to call, make a few phone calls. There were refugees. This is where you go. This is what you do. Here's your ticket. Go on the bus. There was a system. It wasn't like he was going to take them into his house for 6 months. But there was a certain thing he needed to do to encourage my parents. Finally, my parents came to Canada. And then things were going well. And my dad got sick. My dad got really sick. He couldn't go to work. And you know what was going to happen? There was a mortgage to be paid. He was sitting at home. He was coughing up all kinds of stuff. But he was a heavy equipment mechanic, and they were running the diesel trucks inside the garage back then without safety controls, and he really got sick. But he thought there was something really, really bad with him. And there was another word of encouragement that came. One of our sisters in Mississauga Gospel Temple, Pentecostal Church on Barbertown Road in western Mississauga. She just looked at my parents and she said, she knew their testimony, how they came to Canada, how God was with them. All she said was, God was with you the whole way. Why would he leave you now? Why would he leave you now and leave your dad, my dad sick, so he couldn't take care of his family? Very simple word of encouragement, but it was a critical piece of information that was received from God by my family at the right time. These types of simple encouragements become something that it's something that you can stand on and move forward. And they become intergenerational. My parents told me about this encouragement. I'm telling my children today. And it becomes an amazing legacy of encouragement. When the encouragement is given, led by the Holy Spirit in the timing of God, it becomes a special endowment that in some ways is greater than the person who gives it. But then I also ask myself, how sensitive am I to the leading of the Holy Spirit? If someone came to this church door, would I say, the church is closed right now? Maybe I would. Would I be sensitive to what God wants me to do? Sometimes we get busier in our own schedule. We have things to do, people, places to go, people to see. We're checking our watches. We might not understand that opportunity for encouragement. And God may have to use somebody else to give the encouragement because He is faithful. But it might not come from me. Opportunities to encourage are given to us. But we need to recognize them. God's word to Moses, "You him strengthen," are important because we are social beings. And we can look at who we have a relationship with, because this encouragement is often given within the context of our existing relationship. We can look first at our immediate families. Your brother, your sister, biologically speaking, your wife, your husband, your child, your parent. These people, more than anyone, except God, know and understand what you are going through. Do not overlook these relationships in your encouragement. That might be what you need. You might need to open up to that person and receive that perspective from God. We can take a moment. Just think about how encouraging we are. Are we putting the people close to our lives up? Or are we putting them down? Are we encouraging them or are we nagging them? Are we saying you can do better? Or are we saying you're not good enough? Also think about the church body. This is where people are a little bit more distant and they don't always know what you're going through. Problems that are evident to your family members will not be evident to church members. Sometimes we need more communication. When someone asks us, "How are you doing?" we might not answer with a reflexive, "I'm great." But still, in the church, we need to be selective about who we enter into that deeper relationship with. But we need to enter into these relationships. There's an investment of time and effort. To enter into relationships of brotherhood and sisterhood within the church. And these relationships are rooted in the home congregation, in our church fellowship. People who live as believers who live outside a core Christian fellowship might find that the relationships aren't there when they need them for encouragement. Sometimes someone approaches us with a problem in the church and it's not obvious. It's not the cry for help we would expect. And we have to be careful not to brush it off. I had a sister come to me once and said that she was in the church. She told a few people about a problem she was having, and no one offered to pray for her. And I'm not saying this to express a fault, because this person didn't invest the time to build relationships. But we have to be, and then I would say, invest sufficient time to build deep relationships in our church. But still, when someone says that they have a problem, you can at least offer to pray for them. You might not have the solution, but prayer is encouragement. We need to take time to respond appropriately. When someone opens up to us, even if the opening is kind of in passing, because sometimes people minimize what they are feeling because they don't feel comfortable saying, "I need help." So we have to be sensitive to that in the church. And we have to be sensitive to the kairos of God, to the timing of God. We have to be sensitive. Well, we should be sensitive, that's what I meant. We need the sensitivity that that comes from the Holy Spirit. Finally, moving beyond the church, there is the encouragement that we give and receive outside the Christian community. Like we, Paul and Silas, our outside encouragement, our outside witness, part of being the salt of the earth, is that we have the opportunity and can encourage other people. This is a key part of our witness. I'm thinking about stuff that we came through. I'm thinking about me speaking during COVID to other people. Was I encouraging or was I discouraging? These are the kind of things I'm thinking about now. What could I have done better in my witness? Also, outside the church community, we have to be careful what kind of encouragement we receive. It's inside as well. But we can be strengthened to do something bad. We can be encouraged to do something that we shouldn't be doing. So we have to be very careful about receiving encouragement outside. You might not always get what you expect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you that you are an encouraging God. Thank you that you want to strengthen us and that you've given each of us the ministry of strengthening others. God, and I pray that you help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the kairos of God so we know when we should step in and encourage. God, please help each person here give and receive the encouragement that they need and that other people need. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.